At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Evening. What is up, everybody? It's SEC After Dark, and as you could tell, we are back, and it is a Wednesday night, as you know, coming at you from the palatial basement. You go, the man with the brand new flag behind him, that is Jeb Beacham. Your eyes do not deceive you, and the aha man himself, Jake Thomas.
Yeah, what's up?
I said that the dentist, they might find some cavities.
Yeah.
So we are live here on the Y'all's Conference Network. We'll also come at you on the audio side later on the Believe Network. We're coming at you.
I'm Bob Rathman here. I'm coming at you.
So yeah, it's going to be a great show. We have action-packed stuff. I mean, NIL just is ongoing. We got some transfer portal news. I guess Jake wants me to set the record straight on some Georgia fans that are delivering some hot takes. We'll talk about that. Plus,
super
much more
hot takes.
Yeah.
Flaming hot takes.
I got to find it first.
It's like the flaming hot Cheetos of hot takes. But
like the Cayman Islands of hot takes.
Yeah.
Yes, you got it. That's actually a good example, Steve. But I will say this. We are brought to you by betonline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting in your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. Guys, it's super easy to get started. Head to the website today, or you can use that mobile device to just join and use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Okay, so NIL. It's like a soap opera at this point. It just keeps turning, man. So What do we make of this? Is it like, the NCAA wants to get involved now? It's, Steve, you had some opinions about, the possibility of the NCAA like sitting on their hands and letting this unravel so that the Power Five can leave. I mean, there's a lot of theories out there. We got to figure out one to land on here.
Yeah.
Well, the Blue Bloods, the Alabamas, the Georgias, those guys, they can be victims too. And we should do something about NIL for them, because their recruiting is going to take a hit. Mm-hmm. So they're worried about the competitive balance. And by competitive balance, they mean exactly doing what they have been doing for the last 13 years. So I do think that's funny that Nick Saban's talking about competitive balance. And he's obviously talking about Texas A&M with them dropping $31 million on a signing class. But it was just kind of funny to hear like the traditional recruiters like Georgia and Alabama and those guys come out and just be dead against what's going on because this is hurting them. I always question the motivation anytime something comes up, and that's kind of funny. Of course, Lane Kiffin is all about the NIL problem as well. He's been doing that pretty much since this started.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not shy about going after it. But for us, like Alabama and Georgia has the traditional path to recruiting, the recruiting that we all know. Tennessee is the NIL. They're like in the top five in the NIL collective world. And then Ole Miss is doing the transfer portal, and I've got the portal key king shirt for everybody to see. And it's kind of fun that there's three different ways to build a roster now. And I really hope the NCAA doesn't put their thumb on the scales just because the blue bloods that the NCAA is just trained to protect. They've done it for 100 years. The joke, Kentucky pissed the NCAA off so much, they put Cleveland State on 2 more years probation. I mean, you take that joke happened for a reason. And now that the blue bloods are involved, the NCAA is kind of spurred to action. And I really don't want them to put their thumbs on the scales until, honestly, the market can correct itself, because they will. The way I view it is like NFTs. Like a year or two ago, some bored ape sold for $350,000 an NFT.
Yeah.
He just sold that for $130.
Yeah.
And they still probably overpaid for that. But that's going to be what happens with NIL as well. Just as take away pay for play, which is absolutely going on, and just let it go.
Yeah.
It's actually a good comparison with NFTs, because it's not that NFTs are bad or wrong or there's anything actually wrong with it. It's just everybody went crazy with them, and you just can't go crazy with stuff. But it did eventually kind of correct itself out. And being a Tennessee fan, I'm supporting this NIL. I'm enjoying this. So honestly, I feel the same way. I think, yeah, it does seem like some teams are going a little crazy with it, but and all of this will balance itself out. I'm with you.
Yeah, the teams that are going crazy with it, by the way, are the ones that were really good in 1998, and then they quit being good, and they want to be good again. It's like Tennessee, Miami. Those are the schools. Nebraska's hitting it hard, and it's like
that makes sense.
Yeah,
Tennessee had a lot of trouble finding a coach, and has just put our program so far behind that it would take a good coach years to catch up. The NIL is kind of jumpstarting that a little bit, jumping some steps there. Letting him, you know, now that we finally got a decent coach, if we do,
you got a good coach.
Yeah, I've been hopeful before. I'm kind of like with Georgia with that hope in the SEC shorts. I'm just afraid of her right now.
Hope has moved on. Hope is wearing orange now.
Yeah.
But if he is a good one, the NIL is actually jumping some of those steps of him having to build back up the program from scratch by letting us get in good players like Nico coming in. If he did get that huge deal, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
But the thing about NIL, though, is if you're going to illegally get somebody in or you think you can get away with it, this absolutely creates a paper trail now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
These aren't cash deals like they were 2 years ago. Now there's absolutely a paper trail. And what would take the NCAA a year and a half, 2 years to figure out, now they can get it with one piece of paper. That's just something to keep in mind.
Or a few clicks on social media or whatever. I mean,
but it doesn't surprise me at all. The teams that are consistently in the top five recruiting classes every year wouldn't like this. So I don't care, but I guess I would if I was a fan of that team, obviously.
Blue bloods can be victims too.
We're victims, Jake.
I need Sally Struthers just talking about recruiting at Alabama and Georgia and how Texas A&M is just taking a hit. Well, for $25 a month, you yourself can adopt a kid to play football at Alabama or Georgia.
Oh my gosh!
You too can have him represent your car dealership.
Yeah, but I mean, I agree to what Steven has said multiple times, and he said it a bunch last week too. But talking about correcting itself out, one of these guys is going to get paid a lot of money and be a big, huge bust. And once that happens, then that money is not going to be there. Right. So just let it calm itself down. And another thing is what I hate about it. Yeah, you are getting an established player, but you know, these guys coming out of high school, they're not getting really a good opportunity now at, you know, cause I mean, Alabama has a lot of wide receivers, but they've added Burton on top of that. So there's not really, you know, and they're trying to go after Addison, which I don't know if he, I think there's some talk today about him maybe going to Texas.
Yeah.
But you know, some of these guys are not getting a fair shake now. The ones that come in, the rookie, not the rookies, but the freshmen, the sophomores who know the program and know the playbook. Now you got somebody coming in who doesn't know the playbook, but they're going to be starting on day one, you know? So
yeah, it's,
see,
yeah, the, it can be a slippery slope if you start messing with high school kids, because it's going to, because you're going to sink a lot of money into probably one of the most inexact sciences out there as far as trying to project how a high school kid is going to do
right
in your program. And you just don't know. And you get a few of those busts, the money runs dry. Next thing you know, you're losing 37 people in the transfer portal, and your team goes from, you know, contenders to probably couldn't compete in the FCS.
Yeah, you're going from getting four and five star guys to 3-star guys, you know, that's going to be joining your program, you know, out of recruiting, if the money's still there to buy all these good players.
The flip side of this is, and I'm sure that they're doing this, but this is going to cause the most talented FCS division that we've ever seen.
That's a good point.
These diamonds of the roughs that were slipping in with the 24th, 25th spot in a recruiting class, they're going to end up falling to FCS.
Yeah, exactly. And North Dakota State is going to reap the benefits. Eastern Washington is going to clean up on the West Coast. You have, well, James Madison, but they're moving up. So they still may clean up, but you're going to get some of these Southern schools, some of these SoCon schools that are going to, you know, get a bunch of these Southeastern kids that kind of fall by the wayside because the transfer portal is so overactive. Like, can you imagine Samford or Kennesaw State or Jacksonville State? Just kind of some of, you know, they get probably 8 to 10 Power Five guys that would normally go P5, but they got overstepped by transfer portal people. And
yeah,
can you imagine what that would be like for those programs?
Heck, I'd even put UAB in that category that could get some of these P5 guys.
I think UAB, I don't know if they will do it with Bill Clark, because I just don't think that's his speed. But whenever they get the next coach in, you're going to have a situation where he's going to actively be recruiting the second team at Auburn, the second team at Alabama, and trying to find people that might not play at that level but would dominate his. And I think you'll see that. And more so than the 25th, 26th player in the signing class falling to them from a Power Five, I think that might fall even further than that. I think those G5 schools are going to be transfer portal.
Yeah, much like Southern Miss has done with Ole Miss and Mississippi State this year in the portal. They got them second and third string guys from those two teams, and they got a legit shot now, you know, for their conference.
So do you think G5 becomes like the AA to P5's AAA to the NFL's big leagues? Where you go to Kent State, and then it's like a proving ground, and then you basically get called up to Ohio State, and then you get drafted.
Yeah, if you're a 3-star and you end up at Kennesaw State or Akron or wherever you're at, and you start to perform there, one of these big schools is going to grab you. You're going to be at the Power Five level. Troy Brown is at Ole Miss. He came from Central Michigan. I mean, that is an example of somebody moved up to try and, hey, I might be able to play in the NFL. It'd be nice if I had 12 games worth of film. Let's move on.
Right.
So yeah.
So now you're not just scouting high schools. You got to go scout all the smaller colleges.
Yeah.
To see who you can snatch out of.
So now that begs the question, if the accountable coaches restriction goes away, maybe now you have pro personnel. So maybe you're kind of set up like an NFL office now. You have like a pro scouting where you scout the other colleges, and then you
Everybody on this show has a personnel office that's similar to the NFL right now.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Everybody is here.
Yeah.
I'm talking more widespread.
I think it'll be bigger. And I think you're going to see them break off into departments to where the full staff is working on high school kids and a full staff is working on the transfer portal.
And there's no travel. And with this non-countable coaches thing that they're thinking about abolishing, there wouldn't be any travel restrictions if I read it correctly.
Yeah, there wouldn't be.
If you're out there and want to comment on our show, join in the fun. We've got some we've got some action already.
I was going to say to Junior and Steven's point over here, I guess JUCO would just kind of get folded into the transfer portal.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same thing.
If we're being real though, whenever I guess Prop 40 or whatever 10, 15 years ago went away, JUCO slowly died to begin with because it became more easy for kids to be eligible for school. There's a science to it.
It does seem like there's a lot less talk about JUCO.
JUCO still provides an avenue for the kids that come out with like a 1.3. I hate to put the GPAs out there, but we sent Hillwood sent and if you follow my feed, I did a short podcast with three kids that were sending to California to College of the Redwoods, and their GPAs aren't phenomenal, so they're going to get qualified. So
JUCO still has a scuba.
They couldn't go to scuba.
Oh,
they're not good enough football wise.
Oh, okay.
They weren't recruited by scuba.
What we could see if the coaching accountability goes away, much like how the NHL does their scouting, they have a scout that goes all over the world, or scouts that goes all over the world. Then they have pro scouts who scouts players that they may be interested in and trading for. So
that's an NFL model too. I mean,
right? Yeah.
Except the NFL doesn't travel around the world. Maybe they have somebody that travels the world. I don't know.
Well, they did go to London now, so we might have some London rugby players that might want to join the NFL.
I would at least go to America Samoa because
Tennessee Titans just drafted somebody from the London Silly Nannies.
I wouldn't, Family Guy. Yeah. great episode.
Yes, but no, Steven and old Nikki Jr., we thank you for being in the chat. Keep it up, man.
Also, by the way, this is okay. First of all, I'm going to say this. This is not sour grapes at all. This is not going to be sour grapes at all because Arch Manning is going to go someplace other than Ole Miss.
It is sour grapes.
No, it's not sour grapes. It's a legit question that Georgia, Alabama, and if somebody from Texas, if he goes to that school, they should ask this question as well. Why is he actively avoiding the Elite 11?
That's kind of odd to me.
That is very, very odd. Maybe he just doesn't really care to do it. I don't know. Like, he seems very nonchalant about it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here. I go two ways. Either he thinks he's far and away better than everybody else and he doesn't see a need to do it, which is a red flag.
Yeah.
Or he's afraid he's going to get out there and he got there by his name. He's not really that good, and he's not going to perform well at the Elite 11, and it's going to cost him NIL money.
Which is a red flag.
I'm going with the former because there is precedent for the former, and that precedent is the whole Eli Manning draft situation. You know, like it, love it, whatever. Did he end up in the right place for him? Yes, but he pretty much whined his way out of San Diego at the time, and you know, threw a big fit and said, I don't want to be drafted and whatever. I mean, it is what it is, but there is precedent of a Manning thinking they are too good for a spot at the next level. So I'm gonna go with the former. Maybe he thinks he's just. I think he thinks he's just above it. Which, you know, maybe he goes in and maybe he goes into a program and thinks like that and becomes a problem. I don't know.
Yeah, because at the Elite 11 finals, Jaden Rashada has already made it there. Also, Nico Amaleva has already made it there. And those guys can play.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly not a bad thing if you lose. You finish third in the Elite 11. Is it that important that you're like wire to wire one? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean,
yeah.
There's always a chance because let's be honest, he is a high school kid that he could go out and not show as well. Will he lose a bunch of NIL money? Probably not. I mean, he's probably
because of
that,
his name.
Yeah, he's still Arch Manning. Yeah.
Right.
He's a Manning, and he's still, you know, you don't get to the Elite 11 Finals and be a complete asshat at football.
Yeah.
So I think it's.
Well, he won't even do that. He didn't even go to the prequels.
Yeah, he didn't do any of it.
There was a camp in Baton Rouge, like right up the road.
Yeah, he probably just had no interest.
That's weird, though. Guess.
Yeah.
It is weird, but we live in such a world where it's like flipped around where the norm is like you want to do all these in your face camps and to get highlights on social media and all that stuff. And it's more weird now when you see somebody that's not interested in that. So I don't know.
Well, I know when he played in the playoffs at Newman, he had a bad game and that blew up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was like 10 of 25 and they ended up losing the game. And maybe that got in his head a little bit. Either way, this is all red flags.
Wait, he's human?
Yeah. You know, the problem is Peyton didn't have a game like that at Newman. Eli didn't have a game like that at Newman.
Right. Probably not.
Yeah. And this is my theory on the Ole Miss situation. Like I said, this is not sour grapes, but no Manning has ever gone to Ole Miss with Ole Miss in a position that it's in now, to where Arch Manning is going to walk on that campus and they're going to immediately start. The expectation will be the playoffs. And if he doesn't make it, it could tarnish his family's legacy at Ole Miss.
Because
every other Manning, it was 5 or 6 wins the year before. And they come in, they have a big year, they get celebrated, and they move on. Arch Manning is the first one that would walk in. If he walked into Ole Miss, he's going into a 9 or 10 win team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a different mindset for people.
It is. You know, this whole Arch Manning thing, like, it has so many layers to it. So, I mean, to feel like, I don't know, is he worried about a bad game? Yeah, he probably does have a little bit of fragile ego. But also think he's not interested in all of that. And I think he probably just moved on like everybody else.
Yeah. Steven's right. You know, Eli Holstein is on Alabama's radar and they're after him hard. But, you know, there was a little rumor that come out, a little story come out over the, you know, past couple of days where he had, Arch has narrowed it down to 2 and Alabama wasn't in it. But then it come out that they're still pursuing him and he still got them in his top 3 or 4, whatever. But I mean, Alabama's going after Eli pretty hard right now. So
it seems like it's a Georgia Texas thing. And I think it's going to be the Longhorns.
Yeah. I think it feels like Texas. It feels like this is Texas and this is kind of done. And I don't know. I admire Lane Kiffin because the trick for an Ole Miss coach is to do this until the very end. It goes to late November and you try to get him, he picks Texas and you're left without a quarterback. Well, he already has Marcel Reed.
Right.
And he is recruiting the heck out of Jaden Rashada right now, who's been to Oxford like 3 or 4 times in the last 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody in their right mind is probably on the phone like, hey, you know.
Let us know.
Let us know, man. Because I think George is after Rashada too as well.
Yeah, everybody's after Rashada. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I just realized that. I was like, yeah, probably everybody is.
Well, we're doing all right.
Tennessee's not on it.
Yeah.
They've got 8 million reasons not to worry about it.
I think it's kind of telling that you don't hear a lot about Manning's, you know, recruitment right now. It's about all these other guys, Rashada, Holstein. You know, these are the guys that everybody's trying to go after. He's kind of been pushed back to the back burner a little bit.
Yeah, it's a weird recruitment, and everybody's going to see what's going on and like assume that because I'm an Ole Miss guy, I mean, I'm unabashedly an Ole Miss guy, that I have sour grapes going on because he's not going to Ole Miss. But the fact is, and this is the fact, that
the fact of the matter is this, Skip.
Jaden Rashada might be the number one player in the 2023 class by the time signing day gets here.
Probably so.
Yeah. And
unless Georgia signs Arch Manning, then it's Arch Manning.
No, if Alabama signed Arch Manning, it would be guaranteed to be Arch Manning. Georgia, there two or three could be a possibility.
That is true.
But Shannon Terry, let's not forget, is at on three.
There you go. They'll be on three.
Lucky's on the clock.
If you're a top quarterback, will y'all go to Georgia? I mean,
why wouldn't you?
There's been a bunch of top quarterbacks that's gone to Georgia. Not saying that we've managed them all correctly, but we've seemed to have a run of five-star quarterbacks.
Justin Fields come to mind, but
Jake Fromm, Justin Fields,
Brock they got Vandegrift, Vandy Griff,
Stockton, Stetson.
Jones County Junior College, Stetson Bennett.
And the two-star is the one that's balling.
Yeah, y'all made him work. So, you know.
We got Justin Fields drafted with that fake punt.
The fourth and 11 fake punt. Yeah.
I think the Bears saw that and they're like, okay, this is our guy.
Yeah, we got
They didn't need to watch any other game film. They just said, this is our guy.
Speaking of the Bears, they signed Nathan Peterman today.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
they must be really good.
I mean, I don't know. That's somebody had tweeted out, how is he still getting paid? I guess
they're really confident in Justin Fields, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, are we going to talk about Jordan Addison?
Let's do it.
What's the latest with him?
Oh, it's probably going to be Texas. You can see this over and over again. When it comes to NIL and this modern, like, drinking from the fire hose moment, it's most likely going to be Texas in all situations because those guys have money and gas is $4.20 a gallon. So they're making money right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conspiracy theory. The price of gas is up in the U.S. because they need NIL money at Texas and A&M.
Well, it's going back up to $4 here. It was about down at $3.69 about a week ago.
Well, it's like musical chairs set up for Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Y'all need to come on down to Texas.
So USC couldn't pay him enough? Is that what we're saying?
I think USC is playing a game. And this is the same thing they did with Caleb when he transferred out there. It's all done. It's all set to go. And then Caleb has to take a couple of visits at the end so it doesn't look like tampering. It's completely fake. But they just like, no, see, he took visits elsewhere. And then he picked us. And the same thing happened. The rumors came out about Jordan Addison. And then all of a sudden Texas came into it. But the problem with the USC-Texas thing is Texas can throw down some cash. That offer the USC game, they're like, no. They made a movie about us. They went to Old Tex. Rusty from the National Lampoon's Vacation taking visits. Yeah. So don't worry about it.
We got this, bruh. Texas.
But him and Xavier Worry with Quinn Ewers, with Bijan Robinson in the backfield.
Speaking of NIL.
If that happens, that second week game between Alabama and Texas is going to be
fun.
That's becoming a losable game by the day.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Ewers is a dude.
Yeah, I just think Texas might come down there and piss down their leg. But talent-wise, I think they might be able to get it done.
Yeah.
The only thing I worry about is their offensive line. Can they stop Alabama's defense rush? I don't know.
Nobody can. They're just going to throw screen passes all day long.
Turner and some guy named Will Anderson.
Yeah.
If you try to drop back 30 times a game with those two, you deserve to lose.
The sad thing is if Will Anderson doesn't have 15 sacks this year, he's not going to win the Heisman, even though it can be just as dominant and been double teamed the whole year going on, just because he doesn't have 20 sacks in the year. And it's completely unrealistic. He's the best player in college football.
Yeah, but he'll go number one overall in the draft. And we'll be all right.
Dallas Turner's going to have sacks. Yeah,
to Jacksonville.
Yeah, unfortunately.
To Jacksonville, yeah. Jacksonville or the Jets.
Was it November 11th, November 9th there? It's like, let's do the doubleheader. Come on. Prime time game. Ole Miss, Alabama. Let's do it.
Yep.
It's weird it's weird not playing you guys in September. It's always our first conference game.
I know. And it's always a good game.
Not playing Tennessee in October.
Yeah, that got changed too, didn't it?
We usually start the month off with Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, we do have Alabama on the third Saturday in October again, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, yep. We finally got that back at an actual rival.
Yeah.
We're waiting on Texas and Oklahoma to get into the SEC so Alabama can go to the other division so we can get the LSU game back on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that is my only wish, the Ole Miss LSU game on Halloween.
Yeah, Alabama-Tennessee.
Georgia-Florida.
That Alabama-Tennessee game has been like the fourth Saturday for like years now. It's been crazy.
Yeah, they've been messing it up every time. Yeah, they get so close, but then
They've gotten it to their Ole Miss LSU game. It's in October, but it's like the week of the October 23rd, you know, the week before Halloween.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. It is very, very weird.
Georgia is like this year, isn't it?
Yeah, we were late. Mm-hmm. We were November last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, we played y'all right before Auburn, I believe.
That's weird.
Had a great first quarter, and then it went downhill from there for Tennessee. But
they off to that first series. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah,
I still can't get over they beat Kentucky with like 14 minutes of time of possession.
That is incredible.
offense, man. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. They scored 45 points in 14 minutes of time of possession.
That's like 8.5 minute drive for Kentucky and then 35 seconds for Tennessee.
Yeah.
8.5 minutes for Kentucky. 42 seconds for Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was.
And 45 points later, you're just like, what the hell did I just watch?
Yeah.
That was a track meet.
Yeah,
it's like watching a track meet where they just kept cutting to the 100 meter dash every time Tennessee got the ball, and then they'd go to the mile run.
Yeah,
and you're watching paint dry, and then they go back to the 100 meter dash.
No, I've got something better. It's the Winter Olympics, to where every time Tennessee had the ball, it was the downhill skiing, and every time Kentucky had the ball, it was the biathlon.
Cross country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slugging along in the snow. Just struggling. meanwhile, you get Tennessee with the ski jump where it's like, whoosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, ah. Mm-hmm. Like, they not only, they ooh and ah you too. It's like, wow.
Junior, I think Arkansas legit has a chance to be the third best team in the West this year.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I think the third best team is everyone except Auburn.
Right.
And
Mississippi State. Yep.
Even though this is the year where Mike Leach normally pulls it out, you know, whatever he's going to do.
It's a weird division.
Yeah, I can't see him pulling a Washington State and going all the way to Atlanta.
No. I didn't say Atlanta. I said,
yeah, I can't see much past 6-6.
I didn't say Atlanta, but hell, 6-6 might be good for third in the East.
I think they play Georgia this year, right?
They do.
Yeah, their Eastern Division opponents is Georgia and Kentucky.
Well, sucks for them.
I know one's an automatic L. The other one might be.
L's. Speaking of L's, I saw a tweet. Jake, did you find the tweet?
Yeah, I got it.
Read it to me, please.
All right. This Georgia fan a couple of days ago on Twitter said Kirby Smart built Bama. You know, the body of work speaks for itself. Might be why Mullen couldn't recruit and why kids aren't sold on Sunbelt Billy. Pretty much that. But the biggest thing there is that Kirby built Bama.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
He swung a hammer or two. He was there
some of the time.
But didn't Alabama have a couple number one classes while Kirby was at Georgia?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, Kirby definitely built Bama then.
Yeah.
Because their recruiting really fell off the cliff.
Yeah. He left. I mean, yeah. Nick Saban. I mean, come on.
Okay, what do we know about Kirby? Yes, he's a great recruiter.
He's a great coach.
Yeah. And he's learned exactly from Nick Saban how to implement the Alabama system at Georgia. That is the Alabama system.
That's like saying Kobe Bryant is the greatest of all time. He's not, because he built his game on Michael Jordan.
Right.
Like Kirby built his game on Nick Saban. Is there something wrong with that? No.
No. Yeah.
No, there's not. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think both Kirby and – or I know Nick Saban for sure and Kirby, I do believe, would be in the Football Hall of Fame without a doubt.
Oh, no doubt. But Nick Saban is
the GOAT. Saban has been.
Right.
Nick Saban is the GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
let's just end speculation, and people are going to come at me with, oh, that's a hot take. No, Nick Saban is the GOAT.
You know how you know Nick Saban is the GOAT?
Because he eats grass?
No, seriously. Whenever you talk to an Alabama fan, which we do for multiple hours once a week, how many times do you hear about Bear Bryant?
Yeah, that's true. I love Bear, but yeah, it's Nick Saban. Yeah. Nick Saban has passed Bear, and there's no doubt about it.
Yep. Yeah, they don't talk. I don't hear Bear much.
No.
All the Bear
used to before Saban got to Alabama. I mean, you heard about Bear whenever Mike Shula was doing his thing, or Dennis Franchione. Is that Bear did this? Bear did that. Yeah,
you heard about Bear when Nick Saban first got hired, but
right.
That quickly died.
It went away in a hurry.
A couple of national championships later. Yeah,
And Nick Saban has won just about every way you could win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as much as I can't stand him, he's a generational coach.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can't stand him. I mean, he's a lot of coaches have that personality. I don't think he's a snake. Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating because he just keeps on doing it. And you're just like, God, we can't beat this guy.
No, I think he's an assassin. I mean, he's going to do whatever. He's going to take you down. He's going to feel no remorse for it. And then he's going to do it to the next person. Mm-hmm. He's basically like a hitman.
Kind of forget you existed and focus on the next thing.
In his career field, that's why they pay him $11.5 million base salary to do.
Yeah.
But
chop down the SEC.
The problem for Alabama, and it's coming, is they're going to have to replace him.
The next guy.
They might as well hire me.
There is a major Ray Perkins potential, just because there's always a Ray Perkins potential in a situation like
Ray
that.
Ray Goof.
Yeah.
But
let's just go ahead and say the next guy at Alabama after Saban is going to fall flat on his face. Jake, go ahead and prepare yourself for that.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen. You're going to live a couple embarrassing years, and you're going to hire the next guy. And I don't know if you'll ever get back to Saban level, but
I mean, I don't expect to win five championships in a decade, or six in a decade. But once every 10 years, once Saban moves on, that's probably what the standard is going to be, at least.
And that's the rational perspective. But There's a segment of your fan base that will, if you don't win it every year, throwing bricks through your window, off with the head, and those people are out of touch with reality.
They are.
And also, as soon as Nick Saban leaves, those boosters who lost a seat at the table because Nick Saban was so dominant, was able to push him back and dominate, they're going to come back. They're going to try and be influencers again. And that's going to be the biggest problem, because they're going to try and lobby for a coach that is going to accomplish their goal.
Right.
Yeah.
And they will get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless your AD and your president stand up to it, which is hard to do, actually.
It is.
It's easier said than done,
probably. They're the ones that are pumping in money to the program. You got to listen to them at some point.
After Johnny Vaught left Ole Miss, the boosters fought. They won. They hired their guy, and Ole Miss was basically a non-factor until the last year, 2015, mm-hmm. till Hugh Freeze. Mm-hmm. So that is probably, that is the danger with booster involvement, because mm-hmm. you'll see that how they, their access and what they want and all that is going to supersede actually winning football games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the boosters at Georgia, they, I mean, they really pushed hard. Like the whole Mark Richt firing saga was brought on by the boosters, because Kirby Smart was about to say yes to South Carolina, and the boosters were like, yeah. whoa, fire him now. You got to get Kirby or you're going to regret it. And so, Greg McGarrity did it.
Yeah. But it's just kind of odd to see a coach that goes 9-3 lose, you know, loses his job.
It's crazy.
It turned out
the whole good thing. For them. Yeah. And it was that was big time controversy at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your next coach at Alabama, there's major Bo Pelini possibilities there. Mm-hmm. They could go 9-3 in a regular season and lose their job. Because
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they're going to hire Bo Pelini.
Is that yes. potential.
Hey, never yes. Dabo. I don't care who they get. Never yes. Dabo.
It's going to be Dabo.
Man, I don't know if Dabo, I don't know if Dabo wanted to stay in Clemson forever, but he sure as hell with his attitude made it to where he'll never get the Alabama job.
Right.
If he wanted that, he played this all wrong.
I think his brother ruined that.
Yeah.
Brother, also, him torpedoed that.
Yeah, him complaining about losing the national championship game and just not letting it go for 360, you know, it's yeah. like, good grief, man. It's just a game.
Right.
And, yeah, it was a national champion game. It's important, but you've won one of these. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay if somebody else does.
I mean, he won it for Clemson the first time. They've won it in, what, like 30 years before he won one? 30,
probably,
years?
Yeah. Something yeah. like that. 81 was the last time they won it.
Yeah.
I think that was with William Refrigerator Perry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just insecurity.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And immaturity.
I think that's what happens whenever you are a wide receiver coach that gets promoted to be the head job.
Yeah.
That insecurity that he built that wall. Yeah. You know, he might be successful, but he'll never be what he expect. You know, he thinks he can be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But see, Corey, you're talking about being the rational Alabama fan. Once Saban retires, I'm perfectly okay with 9-3 season. To me, that's still a winning season. Hmm. You know, but yeah. to the other people in the fan base, that is going to be absolute no go.
Because you love Alabama football, but it's not your life.
Right. Hmm. Exactly.
So, like, I mean, early on in my 20s, I was probably pretty irrational, especially when watching games. Steve's watched a few games with me back in the 20s. He knows. But I've really since mellowed out. My wife is like, you don't get mad anymore. Are you okay?
That's how I am. I don't get mad much anymore.
2015 fixed me. 4th-and-25 fixed me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's probably the last time I got mad at a football game.
The 2nd-and-26 just kind of, I was like,
yeah. Yeah, we'll try again next year.
We were here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I do want to say the people that think they have suffered in the fan base makes them a better fan. Like, that's so stupid. Just quit it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. Oh, also on Twitter, somebody said they put a picture of Wanda Maximoff on there, and they said, "Name one person that suffered more than she has." I'll wait, and I was like,
"Yes,
any Detroit Lions fan."
Yes, pretty much.
You're a Detroit Lions fan. You're just, I don't know.
Have they won a Thanksgiving game in like the last 50 years? It's every time I watch them on Thanksgiving, they're losing bad.
Yeah,
used to be the only thing they can win.
Right. Yeah. But they ain't won one in a while.
Old Wayne Fonts. You remember him?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Just hand the ball to Barry Sanders. Scott Mitchell is the quarterback. And he's like, who is this
Herman
guy?
Moore. Like, you're like, mm-hmm. Herman Moore was their number one.
Andre Ware. Met Andre. Andre's a hell of a dude, by the way.
Yeah.
But he had a rough time in Detroit.
Well, I mean, shit, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to bring this up since we're kind of off the rails now. This is – I'm going way out in left field because this is nothing to do about football. But
– Oh, okay. He's going way out in left field. Are you in left field with Torrey Hunter?
No, no.
Are you in left field like when Chipper Jones played left field?
Oh, my gosh. Don't bring back those days. But did anybody here watch the Kentucky Derby the other day?
No,
I saw the replay.
You're way out in the end.
Yes, aftermath.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't see it live, but I watched the replay, like you said, Steven. Yeah. I mean, the
overhead shot of that was
ridiculous. Oh my gosh! I mean, he was four wide in the middle of that four wide pack, and still somehow got. I was like, is this NASCAR or is this daggum horse racing? I mean, it felt like a NASCAR.
He just down the home stretch. Whoop, whoop,
yeah.
Whoop. And then turned on the freaking jets.
Yeah.
Did you see him after the race?
Biting all the
just the biting mail, everything. Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah.
That damn horse was on something.
I was gonna say that sounds like he was doped up.
Yeah.
Not even the four wide was the most impressive thing. It was the it was when he turned on the freaking
the jets.
Nitrous, man.
Yeah.
When he put on the NOS.
And what was crazy was when he got right there, right on the hind quarter of the leader, he just stared him down the entire time. I mean, I was like, man, this horse is like very competitive or he's very doped up, one of the two.
Yeah, he's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible to watch, though. But Sonny Leon got his win, and Rich Strike is going to go down in history forever pretty much.
Yeah.
80-1. Whoever bet that.
Yeah.
$10 ticket. If you take a $10 flyer on the highest odds out there, and I'm sure somebody did that, that's $800.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, it was just crazy. Just a little
$10 throw in. I got $10.
I'll throw it on the lowest odd guy here, and he wins.
It's like, Grandma, you don't even bet. It's like, I'm at the Kentucky Derby. I'm going to put a wager down. Oh, this guy. This
horse has a fun name.
Yeah. His name is Rich Strike. Let's see what he does. And Grandma went home with a brand new pair of shoes. You know?
Yeah.
No, it's the grandma that has like the FU money. That's like, yeah, I don't know. This horse has a cute name. I'll throw down $200.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
And then they quadruple their winnings. I mean, it's crazy.
You're just like, damn.
Okay. Yeah. And the owner of Rich Stripe bought him at a race, I think I read a few years ago, or that last year, for $30,000. Now he's a millionaire just because this win. I mean, what an investment.
Watch this horse win the Triple Crown.
Hey, that's crazy.
Do you think he gave the horse Red Bull?
I don't know.
No, that gives you wings.
He didn't have any wings. He had NOS, so.
Yeah, he watched the entire Fast.
He gave him Mountain Dew.
and I've never, since I wasn't born, when Secretariat was racing, but I went back and they were talking. I know, he's been born since dinosaurs, but I watched, there was actually a YouTube clip of him in the Belmont States, I think is what it's called, and him like just getting that huge lead and never surrendering. It was incredible. I ain't never seen a horse run that fast.
It just kept pulling away.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, my gosh, because they said that his is still more, I guess, more impactful than Rich Strike, but still, Rich Strike is pretty sweet too.
Yeah. So, Jake, you understand what it's like for the rest of us to play Alabama. Just watch that video.
Well, I mean, y'all had y'all's moment. Yeah, y'all always had y'all's Rich Strike moment. What, 2016 when y'all come down to T-Town and beat us? So
2015. Yeah, that was the tip six.
Yeah.
Oh, Jake just hung up, I think. And that was a mic drop. Yeah, and I was going to bring up the kick six, so it's probably good.
Yeah, kick six right there. Yeah. War Eagle, baby.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Oh, my God. You can tell my AC is out. It's getting to me. My toupee is flopping. Oh, toupee. I started Winning Time, by the way.
Winning Time is really good.
I didn't realize how raunchy it was. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And Jerry West really is a hothead.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is Jerry West is like, oh, we're not like that. And he goes off into this freaking rant about how he's not a crazy person that rants all the time. And it's like, you're doing exactly what the TV says you do.
Yeah. I could imagine he was throwing his trophies in the background. Yeah. Yelling about how he's not like that.
I do not have a Chicago accent.
Throws his chair through a window.
Yeah. I am not an angry person. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. So yeah.
Well, I don't guess Jake's gonna come back.
Guess not. Hmm. And John C. Reilly plays Dr. Jerry Buss. Outstanding.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how he was, but that's how I'm going to picture him from now on.
Yeah. I think he was a playboy.
I could see it.
Hey, it's the Riddler.
Yeah. I kicked him out, so maybe Jake can get back in now.
Yeah.
Jake, get back in the club.
But even the guy that played Magic kind of looks like Magic.
Mm-hmm. Guy playing Kareem did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got his aloofness out there perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah. I couldn't tell you, I couldn't tell you if the guy playing Norm Nixon was accurate because I don't know who the hell Norm Nixon is.
Yeah. He was on the team. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
It's the other guy I'm wondering about. Who's the one? Well, I don't know how far you are.
Jason Siegel playing Paul Westhead.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one
coming.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Now I'm just like, I'm curious to know that if Jason Siegel is going to keep his streak of dong shots in movies, everything that he's in always has a dong shot, everything he's ever been in. And there goes our rating.
Yeah, really.
Thanks, Corey.
Spencer Haywood. That's the guy's name. Spencer Haywood. I'm wondering if he really did the stuff they're going to say he did in this show. I haven't seen the latest episode, so, but.
Then the whole Tarkanian saga.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It's like the mob left Las Vegas, but not yet.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. The body in the churn. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I thought they were going to catch Tarkania with something, and all of a sudden it's a body. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No piece
of I don't know what happened. Cassie's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to Jake.
He's in there kicking his computer.
The tip sick is broken.
Yeah.
Hey, Cassidy, I know you're watching what's going on, but we talked about the kick six after Jake froze up.
Yeah. Just sent him into a black hole, into the abyss. Yeah.
All right. He's back.
Sort of.
And he is.
He seems upset.
I can see he's trying to get in.
Yeah, it's almost like he's reliving the kick six over and over again.
It's like that scene in what's it? God, I'm drawing a blank. Probably because I haven't slept in a while. But that baseball movie with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, with the Boston Red Sox. What's that called? I know what you're talking about. It's
where he's like
fever pitch.
Fever pitch.
Fever pitch.
He goes into a state of depression after he breaks up with his girlfriend, and he watches the Buckner play over and over again. He has crusty wing sauce all over him. I imagine Jake. That's Jake with the kick six.
It wasn't even his fault.
I don't know what happened. My internet never went out. And then when I tried to log back in, it said my firewall was not letting me get in. So I don't know what was up with that.
Firewall.
That's okay, Wonderwall.
We need to stop that. Yeah. I think Spencer Rattler will do well at South Carolina this year, Nick Saban Jr.
He's got a lot of talent, but he is a head case. It'd just be interesting to see what he does.
Hey, yeah, he's a head case.
But I think he'll do well at Oklahoma, South Carolina, because of Shane Beamer.
Yeah, and he'll be
the name.
Biggest name there, so yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it feels like that could be an inmates running the asylum thing pretty quick.
But Shane Beamer, it seems like that, but I think Shane Beamer has a tight grip on that team.
We'll see. They looked really good in the bowl game. And now they got
except when they tie him down and dunk him with mayo.
Oh, gross.
I like mayonnaise, but I don't want it on me.
That's one bowl game that I hope Ole Miss never goes to.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl?
Yeah.
Wisconsin went to it, won it, and broke the trophy.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh.
But the bowl game that I hope Ole Miss does go to, if they're not like way up this year, the Las Vegas Bowl at the Radiums, the Death Star. SEC tie-in.
Oh, are you going?
SEC Pac-12? No, probably not.
Steve will go out there and play the penny slots and forget to go to the game. Him and Ethel.
Do you have penny slots are fun.
Can you have a buffet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Me and Stephen Willis
Becky
play the penny slots. Oh, Becky, he's such a darling.
I want to go out and look at the sights, but it's so hot.
It's 100, Lord have mercy, it's 115 degrees out there.
Do you remember, did you go to that publishers conference out there in Vegas?
No, I did not. I was not out there for that.
It was so hot. It was like you go outside and it's like you open the oven. It was set at 450. Oof. I mean, that's what Vegas felt like.
The first pub conference I went to was the Atlanta. Because I didn't have to go to pub conferences until then.
Me either. And then the Vegas one, they're like, oh, Steve, you need to go get your plane ticket, you know, get your hotel room. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, all right.
We went to the Atlanta one and again, I mean, it's hot Atlanta for a reason, but, yeah, we went to that.
Just a deep south in general is hot.
Oh, and then Chicago was your last hurrah, wasn't it?
No, Atlanta was my last hurrah.
Oh.
I did not go to Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago, they thought so well of me.
Hot. It was so hot in Atlanta, and they thought it'd be awesome to give everybody Muscle Milk as their energy drink. What's going on? And that is it's like, here, have some chocolate milk in 100 degree weather outside. It was so nasty.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to just drink water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour a little bit on me.
I like chocolate milk, but mix it with hot weather. It don't set good with your stomach.
Kids were getting sick because they were like, they would do their little camp stuff and they'd come off and they'd drink a Muscle Milk and they'd go back out and they'd be like, wait a second.
Yeah. Cookies talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't good.
All good for the 5-star challenge.
Yeah. And then the next year in Chicago, they ruined me with the intern.
And, who was the intern?
Will the intern. His name was Will the intern.
I think it started right before I left or something like that. Because I think that May, right before the 5-star challenge, I was like, yeah, I quit. Yeah. They offered me, they wanted me to go to Dallas and they offered me like $65,000 to do it, a year to do it. And Becky would not move to Texas. She absolutely refuses to move to Texas. So I was like, something with my wife. She's never been to Texas, absolutely refuses to move to Texas.
No, I mean, a lot of wives get rooted in where they're from. I get it.
She was like that for a little bit with Florida, but I wore her down.
I'd move to freaking Wyoming. I almost moved to South Dakota for a radio job.
Oh, no.
Really?
Right before I started at Rivals, yeah.
All right. We're coming at you in Bismarck, South Dakota. Let's talk about what's going on at the Mount Rushmore over in the Black Hills. We got Janie on the phone from the Black Hills going to talk about it. And Janie, what do you have to say? Well, I think that the 4th of July fireworks are going to be fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic, Janie. Anyway, this is Corey from the Black Hills in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And here's Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was Sports Talk, ESPN, like 1024 or 102.4 or something like that.
Oh, so you'd be talking Jackrabbits and Coyotes.
I was going to say, you could have the tumbleweed races out there. You know, the fastest tumbleweed.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been Dickinson, South Dakota.
They're like, hey, come here because we're like the tech center. We're doing really great things. And it's like, no. You're in the middle of the country. It's fucking cold. And I don't want to be there.
Well, there goes our PG rating.
And we lost
We almost made it. Yeah.
We lost a long time ago, brah.
Yeah, we were talking about dong shots when you weren't on, so.
I'm glad I missed that then.
Yeah, there's this whole thing about winning time that we went down that road.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How I was amazed that Jason Siegel hasn't showed his dong yet.
Oh, wow.
He always does.
Yeah. That's why I want to watch his movies.
And you just happen to, like, it's not, you know, you don't want to get junked, but, you know, you get junked.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're just like, oh, boy.
So in your face.
It's pretty good with Jason Siegel. It's like getting Rickrolled, really.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Literally, yes. Rickrolled. But yeah. No, it's like, I feel like there's a sound effect that happens every time Jason Siegel shows his junk on TV. It's like, you've been junked. It's like,
Mike Myers got me this last week with that. So
it's like, unnecessary dong shots.
What movie did he do that in?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if y'all have seen it yet. Netflix has a new show out called Pentaveret. It's Mike Myers just doing wacky Mike Myers stuff. He plays at least half the characters, if not more. Keaton Michael Key's in it a little bit. Ken Jeong. I don't know. Some other people are in it, but he plays most of the characters. And it's just silly crap. But he does some callbacks to some of his shows, like Shrek and Austin Powers. And one of them, they do the scene where, you know, he's walking around naked, but he's always got his stuff covered somehow, except it's kind of the opposite. So
it's
not as bad like Simpsons, where everything's covered but that. But like they're trying to cover it, just can't quite do it. So you just keep seeing dong shots constantly.
Oh, my gosh.
It's actually pretty hilarious, but... It's a wacky show, but fun.
That reminds me of my favorite Robot Chicken sketch. And
Robot Chicken.
Where they're talking about the superheroes having negative or reverse and all that. Yeah. And somebody was like, y'all don't know anything about negative Wonder Woman. And everything is covered up the opposite of Wonder Woman. So the only thing that is not covered up is there.
Because Wonder Woman is a little,
it's like, where is my visible jet? Oh, there it is. It's fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
Just search on YouTube negative Wonder Woman.
Okay. And that ain't got blocked yet.
Should I do this at school or not?
No,
it's on TV, so it's all covered up.
Yeah.
Should I pull this up at a staff meeting? It's an icebreaker.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah, it's all cool. Hey, check out this clip. This is a nice icebreaker.
Yeah. Mm. Adult Swim is amazing, though.
Mm.
They have an awesome show.
You got to love some gratuity.
Yeah. The Boondocks. Family Guy, of course. American Dad, Robo Chicken, Aqua Team Hunger Force. I mean, they had some great shows.
He's a Family Guy. Yeah, I love Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my money, man? Where's my money?
You got my money?
Yeah. You got my money? Just beat the hell out of him. One of my favorites when Lois did something on the stairs, and every time Peter come down the stairs, he just tumbles over them 30 stairs, you know, every single time. I mean, they have some funny skits on there. I didn't like when they killed Brian off for a while and they had that new Brian. I didn't really like him. You know, you can't mess with the original. You know.
Brian.
I didn't enjoy that either. They brought him back.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Back from the dead.
And then every once in a while, you get a an okay South Park episode.
Mm-hmm. South Park. I miss Futurama. They don't play it much anymore. I think it moved to like Comedy Central, but you know, I really like Futurama. It was really a good show.
I haven't seen a new Futurama in a long time.
I think they're supposed to be coming out with some new ones.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, it would be.
Any chance that there was Linda Carter as negative Wonder Woman?
No, it was.
Are you asking for a friend, John?
Yeah, it was Robot Chicken, which means it basically was like a Barbie doll. They were doing the stop motion thing on it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm going to go check this out. Gosh. Yep. Any guy going to college football game this year? Yeah, besides us, we're going to one.
Well, now doing that in Florida makes it kind of tough. But.
Well, no, probably not, because I have games on Fridays, and Athens is 5 hours away. Makes it kind of a stressful trip to get there. So
no. Is Tennessee playing in Florida this year?
That's actually what I was just checking. I'm not positive.
I'm asking for me.
Asking for a friend?
Hell no, I'm asking for me.
Now, I'll do a little research here, but
yeah, do a little research. Yeah,
no, they're in the stadium. For the
Can you give me Jason Siegel's IMDb? I'm trying to do some research here.
Yeah,
John, just look him up.
I don't know anybody in Knoxville anymore, so I can't even, I'm probably not going up there for a game. That'd be sad.
Will it though?
Well, for me, Alabama and Florida are coming to town. Of course, I wouldn't get tickets for either one of those. So.
I mean, you could bring mustard bottle and a golf ball. You'd be set.
Just don't bring a Pro V1, will you?
Yeah.
If only Lane Kiffin was going to be in town, I would.
Oh, you got some resentment still towards Lane.
Tennessee fans with Lane Kiffin is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I know. Yeah. I mean, you don't even hear a lot about LSU fans still mad at Nick Saban anymore.
No. I mean, they're just like, well, we get it.
Yeah.
At least Nick Saban gave them a championship. Lane gave us NCAA violations.
Lane gave y'all Derek Dooley.
Yeah.
And then Butch Jones.
And then Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
Who is the real builder of Alabama football?
Right. Yeah.
The real
builder was Mike Price. Absolutely. Mike Price.
Yeah. I mean, without Mike Price, those strip clubs do not become the recruiting establishments that they are.
I don't think we should discount what Rich Rod did.
Yeah. Yeah,
Rich Rod really built Alabama.
Yeah,
Rich Rod should get credit for the dynasty.
Yeah. Jacksonville State.
They're going to be a fun team this year.
Yeah, I thought John Rhys Plumlee would end up down there because that's just the perfect offense for what he wants to do. But him down at Central Florida, he has a chance to win that job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like Plumlee. Yeah.
John Rhys Plumlee.
You going to sleep, Jeb?
No, I'm calming down. You bring up Derek Dooley's name. This thing's off the rails for me. Oh, do that.
He's
Dooley.
Yeah,
Dooley.
He's over here.
Okay. We can help you out, Jeb. Brick by brick, champions of life.
I'm going to need you to shut up.
Yeah.
And it's revived down in Gainesville.
Yes.
The game changer coordinator.
Oh boy.
The Chris Doering I like to practice award.
Oh my god. You know,
Chris Doering, I'm like, really? I'm like, come on, bro.
That's so
I was on Twitter and I have a group with all my Locked On hosts that are in that thing. And one of the thing is the guy from Tennessee. And I was like, if Billy Napier doesn't win, ask a Tennessee fan about how hard life can be on Twitter for a while.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm in with all my Locked On hosts.
What? Oh. What? Humble brag? What?
Yeah, very humble. Yeah.
I get on with all the Locked On hosts.
We were discussing about getting our paychecks and
we were going down to the local club.
Still waiting on mine for this show, Steve. You're about
trying to get that behind. Damn gopher.
What's that?
Yeah. I said, I'm still waiting on mine for this show. You're about 5 months behind.
Yeah. Still waiting on mine for this show as well.
Bro? Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah. Come on. When is
Where's
this
my money,
show,
man?
Guys?
Where's my money?
Yeah. Where's my money?
Yeah. When is the sponsorship, guys? So if y'all
Jake,
got,
do you know, y'all got, you know, any salespeople that could sell our show?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm a pipe salesman, but I can't get my company to commit. I've asked.
Wait. You're talking about a pipe salesman? He's
pipe salesman. Yeah. He lay the pipe down on there. Yeah. He knows what pipe. Yeah.
I'm here to sell some pipe.
Yeah.
I'm here to talk to you about pipes.
Yeah.
Have you seen my pipe?
Yeah.
Here, let me show you.
No, man,
Jake's,
I wish my
internet. Jake's blood red.
Yeah, I wish my internet would go out again.
I wonder if Cassidy's still watching.
I'm sure she is.
Cassidy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Is he a good salesman?
Guess it probably why buy pop when I get it home for free?
Damn.
A company discount.
And I'll see myself out.
Yeah. Yeah. Good night, Jeb.
And I did none of this, Cassidy. Yeah. None of this. Other than the original pipe joke.
The ringleader only did the one joke, and then everybody else piled on.
So I definitely piled on. I
said, what is wrong with y'all? This show is the best. If you're not listening to this show, you've got to. My gosh.
Oh
my
I'm here God. To lay some pipe.
Yeah. I heard a joke one time that said, apparently my neighbor doesn't watch porn because I've been fishing her pipes under a sink for the past, 2 hours and nothing.
just waiting. Yeah. Any minute now.
Yeah.
Surely this is going to get real.
Right. Oh, man. They're high on paint fumes.
Yeah. What's the odd if you're a plumber? I mean, she could be a correctional officer in Alabama. I mean,
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Oof. That's insane. That manhunt is over now. And unfortunately, Vicky lost her life. But, don't run out with crazy.
Vicky Valancourt.
I don't know how that guy talked her into that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy is the biggest epidemic in our country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's some people that just do things you're like, what?
You did.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I grew up in South Mississippi and I wouldn't do that.
What?
I don't know. It's
I'm called WTF several times a day. It is true.
Yeah.
You just scroll through the headlines, you're like, the hell?
Yeah. Crazy and bad judgment. I mean, she was ready to retire. I mean, my God.
She was ready to retire because she was put it in and she could run off with him.
Yeah.
She did everything. Sold her car, a house, retired. Everything to run off with an inmate. Speaking, I guess, of laying pipe, I don't know.
Must have been laying some good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like 6'9", like 270. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Probably a pretty good salesman. If you catch my drift.
He's like big hands. Oh.
No.
I wear big shoes. You know what that means?
Big shoes means big heart.
Big heart.
Yeah.
I got big hands. You know what that means, right?
Big gloves.
Big gloves, you pervert.
Yeah.
A big head, too. Yeah.
Nobody spread the heck on sense anymore. Yep.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to say something that might be unpopular. If it's unpopular to everybody, I'm sorry. But I believe there's an epidemic of a lack of bullying in this country.
Yeah. There, there you continue. Go.
Yeah. That social structure of things not to do because you're afraid of getting your ass kicked, that is gone.
Mm-hmm.
They will do absolutely whatever because there was nothing brought up like me. Whenever high school for me and my age group, and I'm sure it's for you as well, Jeff, high school was kind of hell.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be careful.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had to be careful.
And because of that, you learn how to handle interactions in public. So when everybody else is losing their mind, I'm pretty much fine. But they're not going to be fine whenever there's consequences for their actions.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You can, like the dude who taunted Mike Tyson on the airplane and got his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
Yes.
He absolutely deserved it.
He learned a valuable lesson about consequences.
Yeah. And that people was like, they need to charge Mike Tyson. Dude, somebody's just bugging the piss out of me, and I've told them multiple times to stop, and I retaliate. That's on you.
Yeah.
So exactly. Yeah. But like people like fly off the handle. It's like, you know, I teach high school and you know, you hear about all these fights and like knockdown dragouts over like $10.
Yeah.
Or like,
you're freaking bugged.
Oh, you took my phone charger, so I'm going to go ram your head into a wall.
Yeah.
like where's the hey man, give me my charger back. No. Okay. Yeah. Like, well, I mean, we're like, where, I mean, obviously those conversations probably aren't happening that way, but it's like, where's like the common, you know, the common sense really. I mean, it's like,
there's none.
We have a saying at our school, and we have a new coach, new basketball coach, and he's kind of like a super sub, like general assistant, kind of helps out wherever needed during the day. Now I told him pretty early on, because he was like talking about something that doesn't make, he's like, man, this doesn't make sense. I forget exactly what it was. I go, look, man, here's the rule around here. If it makes sense, it ain't happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, absolutely. If it
makes sense, it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
And I think I just shattered the glass on that for him, because now he's like, he goes, yeah, now that you said that, I can't unhear that anymore.
Right.
And it's true. Like, if it doesn't make sense, it's a reality. Like, we had a kid miss practice today because he had to go get his hair done for prom on Saturday.
What? Wait, well, we need to back that up.
Yeah.
He had to go get his hair done
today.
Prom.
On Saturday. You mean prom's go get on hair Saturday?
Done. Prom's on Saturday. Go get his hair done.
What, does he have hair like Sunshine from Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
That's just lots.
No, he has a fro.
Oh, Lord.
What?
Oh, my God.
You just tell him to stick his finger in a light socket. You're good to go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like,
stick a comb right up there.
And he's like, I'll be back at practice tomorrow, coach. He's like, no, you won't, because you just got your hair done. Bruh.
Yeah, he's not gonna be doing anything.
Yeah, you're not gonna put on a helmet.
No.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Okay. Let's log that one down. So like my book of excuses now, this might be a bestseller. I could write a book on what it's like to coach Metro football.
I bet you could write a novel about.
Yeah.
You know.
And when I say Metro, Steve and Jeb know what I'm talking about. But like you have,
County.
Like we had a kid, and on the flip side, we had a kid say, yeah, I can't come to practice today. This was yesterday. Can't come to practice today because I have an Innsworth chess club meeting that I got to go to.
Chess club.
Got to meet for chess club.
Okay. By the way, this tweet just came out. Before we get out of here, let's get this around there. It says the biggest college football breakout candidates by position per Anthony Trash. Okay. Saying quarterback Quinn Ewers.
Mm-hmm.
We okay with that?
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Running back EJ Smith at Stanford. I've never heard of him. So Yeah. Wide receiver, Jermaine Burton.
I can see it.
I think it's going to be the other wide receiver that they just picked up from the transfer portal.
The one they didn't tamper on.
Yeah, the one they definitely didn't tamper on. Yeah.
Not even a little bit. We don't have to do that. Nah. I honestly don't think you tampered on that one, but it's kind of funny. But Scott Satterfield is like really in his feelings because he's losing all his wide receivers.
Who do you want to throw to?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, who wants to play at Louisville?
Right.
Michael Trigg, Ole Miss.
I agree with that 100%.
Tight end, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blake Fisher, tackle, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have no reason not to believe it. So
yeah. Landon Tangwell, guard. I don't, you know, Penn State. And Bryce Foster, center, Texas A&M.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
First impression. Yeah, the first impressions of it is I'm kind of surprised there's not a Georgia player on the list.
Yeah, with all the new all the new players that we got coming on, I'm kind of surprised myself.
Yeah. I mean, other than Jermaine Burton, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, he's an Alabama player now, so they can have him.
I think Jermaine Burton's on this list because everybody assumes he will be like Jameson Williams, and he is not Jameson Williams.
It's not as fast.
Yeah.
They're not the same player
in the
slightest.
Yeah.
He is more like John Metchie, Stephen has said.
And John Metchie is not going to be the guy that makes this list.
Right.
Let's see. Good grief. If Jordan Addison is up at Texas, you got the guy from Alabama that transferred out there. You've got Xavier Worthy.
Oh, Jai Hall.
Mm-hmm. Good grief.
Yeah.
But are they going to be able to keep yours up to throw to them? That's the thing.
Yeah. All I know is that I hope Texas and Texas A&M goes 8-4.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. I mean, Texas A&M has problems on the offensive side. Don't know who their quarterback's going to be. Don't know. I mean, running back's going to be an issue. So.
Never. Yeah. Well, we're going to see if that $31 million is well spent.
Their defensive line is going to be stout, no doubt. But, I mean, unless you get a couple of turnovers that, you know, involve touchdowns on the defensive side, how are you going to score?
You're not.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Yeah.
John,
they're not going to step too far back.
No, they're not. They're still going to win the East because the East is still, I think, Texas.
Careful.
I think Tennessee's still got a year.
Yeah. Maybe a couple until Nico
Tennessee
gets up to speed.
Still stacking them bricks.
And everybody forgets about those Vinnie Hardy chrome domes up there in Lexington.
Yeah,
the chrome domes are awesome. They're outstanding. That sounds like a Jim Rome statement.
Yeah,
chrome domes.
Yeah. We're all sleeping on Vandy. I'm just telling y'all.
Usually, yes. That is correct.
Yeah, I'm used to sleeping in their game. So yeah.
I sleep
pretty well.
he might not win the job or even what's going on, but I'm still president of the Ken Seals fan club.
Yeah. I'm rooting for him.
Do they meet anymore?
Well, I need to see if he's going to win the job or transfer. I hope he transfers to like Colorado State or South Dakota. Maybe he can play for the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Who knows?
I'll cover him in Dickinson. For 102.4 ESPN radio.
Let's go to Jane on line one. Oh, never mind.
We've done that before. Jane, go away.
Jane, nobody cares calling about the fireworks.
Right. What the fireworks on July 4th? Are they going to do them this year?
I'm going to have a spot parked on Roosevelt Street, and it's going to be very, very nice.
John, that's why they're on the West Coast, and that's why usually their football teams suck. Because if they think Georgia can go 8-4 or 9-3, that's ludicrous.
They're going to find out about Georgia in week one or week two.
Yeah,
and when they go out to Oregon, and they're going to beat Oregon by 28 points and it's coming to LSU Road.
Yeah, I was going to say about 3 touchdowns easily.
Kirby has something special in mind for Dan Lanning.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is it called five stars everywhere?
It's called five stars everywhere.
Yeah.
It's called the Stetson Bennett Show.
Let's not go overboard.
Yeah.
Corey, I mean.
The scoreboard will. We're going to test every light in that scoreboard. We're going to make sure it all works. We're going to light it up, boy. Did you see Stetson in the G-Day game? It was outstanding.
I didn't see it.
Not in it.
National championship, engage. Am I doing it right? Am I doing this right?
Oh, goodness.
He stood.
Anybody that looks at a spring game at 11-on-11 or scheme stuff, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Although it was good to see Eric Gilbert have some positive experiences. Maybe he'll do that in the fall.
You know what I want to see this year? I want to see Indiana and Northwestern. That's what I want to see this year.
That'd be a good game.
Yeah. I want to
see that'd be 11 o'clock game I would watch.
I want to see Wake Forest and Duke. Can't wait for that one.
Oh, that feels like a route.
Yeah, that's a Wake Forest route for sure.
Yeah,
I want to see before they fire Herm Edwards. I want to see Arizona State, Arizona, with Arizona wearing their Desert Swarm uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be sick. Right before they hire Ted Bruschi as their replacement for Jed Fish.
Yeah.
Yep. And I just want to see any Fun Belt game on this year. I don't care.
Any Fun Belt game
is going to be great.
I want to see Clay Helton, see what he does at Georgia Southern.
I'm all about the Chanticleers. You know, I'm a lifelong Coastal Carolina fan. And
that's right.
I'm all about everything that they do. So,
first time, long time, Paul.
Yeah, and Butch Jones is on the other side, so maybe we can see a Coastal Carolina versus Arkansas State game.
First time, long time. First time listener, long time caller.
I want to talk some Sun Belt football. What really matters? None of this Big Ten shit.
Mm-hmm.
What's with all this Yankee ball?
Yeah, seriously.
Yankee ball.
Hail Southern. G-A-T-A, boy.
Oh, we're going to talk about conferences that are not going to make the playoffs. I have a question about the Sun Belt. What?
What is Arkansas State going to do?
I want to know why James Madison's called the Dukes.
Because they love Duke's Mayo, obviously. Yeah.
That bothers me, the fact that there is no nobility system in the U.S. James Madison literally wrote our Constitution, and the university name for James Madison is the Dukes.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a put up your Dukes. Hold, please.
Yeah. That bothers me.
Raising Cajuns.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how good they are without Billy Napier.
I think they're going to be good for a couple of years without Billy Napier because he's recruited so well.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
The Duke Dog is the official mascot for James Madison University Dukes. Dukes was made the official nickname in 1947, was named after the university's president from 1919 to 1949, Samuel Page Duke. However, the Bulldog was not chosen to represent the Dukes until 1972.
Okay.
It's like the Browns, named after a person.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Well, if you look at their logo, it's a bulldog with like a monarchy.
Yeah. Because it's easy to go to Duke when you're the Dukes.
Yeah.
The Dukies, baby.
But I'm looking forward to James Madison in the Sun Belt this year. Them going against the Chanticleers. That's going to be must-see TV for me. And I hope it's on Wednesday night in November.
I thought must-see TV was on Friday with Fresh.
Well, there's a chance the Sun Belt game could be on Friday, so maybe.
Maybe.
Fresh Prince.
Southern Miss in the Sun Belt.
Don't they usually start like Tuesday nights now, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up?
Like midway through the season, like in October, they start that. Yeah. So like they can actually get viewers. So here's James Madison's schedule this year. They start off at home against MTSU.
Yeah, that was their big FBS game, their coming out game. They were able to get MTSU in their stadium.
MTSU must be desperate. Then they have Norfolk State. Then they go to Boone September 24th to take on Appy State.
Ooh, that sounds like a
that's a good game. Ass kicking.
Mm-hmm. Then they host Texas State. That should be a win. Mm-hmm. Then they are at the Brickyard, Arkansas State. Follow that with a road trip to Statesboro to take on Georgia Southern. Good follow game. That on October 22nd with a homecoming game against Marshall. Picked a hell of a game to have.
Oh, God.
Then November 5th, they're at Louisville.
Okay.
Then they're at Old Dominion.
Okay.
Then they're home against Georgia State. Then they're home in their season finale against Steve's Chanticleers.
Ooh. What day is that? What day is that on?
Saturday, November 26th.
Okay, so that is the Saturday after the United States England game, mm-hmm. and after the Thursday night Egg Bowl.
Oh, your week is complete. Your week's complete right there, Steve.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna have six TVs on that week. Oh, it's gonna be fantastic.
I got six screens. I don't get tired. All right, with that Kevin Gates reference, we are going to wrap it up. We are out, like the Dukes against Appy State and Boone. So we are the SEC After Dark. We are presented by BetOnline.ag. For Jake, Steve, and Jeb, I'm Corey. So long. Have a great week, an even better weekend. We'll see you back here better than ever next week. Hopefully my air conditioner will be fixed. I'm not sweating like a mule. I didn't even turn my light on today because I didn't want to sweat so bad. So, the shirt is a darker shade of blue now. So we will see you guys later.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Be first in 28. Roll Tide.
Paul. Paul, what's something about Paul?
First time, long time, Paul.
Coastal Carolina, Appalachian State. Let's do this.
Boom.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save.